Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's turn now to what happens when real life is put on stage. On December 1st, 2008, when then 16-year-old Na Trang was interrogated by the Worcester Police Department, Trang was accused of killing her 13-month-old son, Kyle. The interrogation was conducted by Sergeant Peugeot and Detective John Doherty, and it was recorded.
I didn't.
What?
I did not kill.
Okay, so a perfectly healthy boy just, what, held his breath? Is that what you want me to believe? Is that what you're going to try to convince the jury? That he held his breath?
I don't know.
I know. One day after his death, and believe me, we're still doing tests, but one day I can tell you that that boy was smothered to death.
After more than 2 hours of questioning, Na Trang confessed.
You smothered Kyle?
Well, a judge later examined the video and ruled that the interrogation was illegal and that the confession was coerced and it could not be used as evidence in court. WBUR senior reporter David Boeri covered Trang's story back in 2011 in an award-winning series called Anatomy of a Bad Confession. The story is now being given another treatment, a documentary play written by two seniors at Brandeis University. It's called Coerced, and it's being performed tonight and Sunday at the Laurie Theater at Brandeis. We spoke earlier with the playwrights, Julian Seltzer and Amanda Jane Stern, and they told us how they were first introduced to the story of Na Trang.
David Boeri was a guest lecturer for a class I was taking in my freshman year, Investigating Justice. And he presented some clips of the interrogation and talked about how he reported on it. And at the end of that class, I went up to him. I think everyone else kind of disappeared. It was the end of the class. And I said, do you know if anyone's ever spoken about making this into a play? And he looked at me like, this is not an idea that I've ever heard. And then the next person that I told about this idea was Amanda.
So he brings this story to me and says, okay, first, you have to read these articles on WBUR, and then we're turning this into a play.
When you first saw the actual video of the interrogation, I mean, what was your reaction that made it so powerful and stay with you? It's the way it seems like it has.
I mean, we've watched the tape so many times and gone through the clips so many times, but I still kind of feel the same way listening to it just a minute ago. I just want to, like, jump up and stop her and tell her everything that she could have done.
When you turn it on and you realize that this is a real thing, you know, this is a 16-year-old, and these are two middle-aged officers who are bullying her for 2.5 hours, there's just something so powerful about seeing that. You never forget it.
What made you feel that this would make for a good piece of documentary theater, then?
The documentary model that we put this through, there's the accuracy, there's the authenticity. It also ups the drama of the whole narrative when you know that this isn't like a TV movie where we're imagining what people say or we're creating dialogue, but it's all really their words. And I think that's what really drives this story when you're watching it as an audience member, and when our cast is rehearsing it, they feel the weight of it because they know it's all the real words.
So let's talk a little bit more about that, because when we say documentary theater, is that what we mean? That you didn't actually write any new dialogue, but you've taken it from original sources?
No, yeah. 100% of the dialogue is from the real historical sources. So that includes the media coverage, that includes legal documents, including the decision by the judge, that includes the actual interrogation transcript and interviews that we conducted with both David and with Na's lawyer, Ed Ryan.
Hmm. Well, let's listen to a little bit of how this is brought to life through your play called Coerced. Act one focuses on the actual interrogation, and we have a little cut from a scene here. And in it, you'll hear actor Ben Gold playing the role of Sergeant Kevin Peugeot and Christine Kim, who plays Na Trang.
Who's him?
Who?
Who's Heim Trong?
My baby brother who passed away.
Your brother? How did he pass away?
Sudden death syndrome.
There's no sudden death syndrome. Sudden death syndrome? How about big sister syndrome? You were watching him when he died, weren't you? And now you're watching another baby, and he dies. Are we going to keep doing this, or are you going to tell me what happened?
I did tell you what happened.
It's a scene from the new play, Coerced. I'm curious, how did you prepare your actors to do this? Because they're not just reading lines. I mean, they are literally recreating an experience that a young woman went through. It changed her life. I mean, she spent years in prison because of this.
Yeah. What we kind of did with our actors is we gave them the option of, do you want to see the actual interrogation? Because obviously when you play a real person, a lot of actors will choose that they want nothing to do with the real history. They don't want to see their real life counterparts because that might affect their performance. But the actors who are portraying the people in our interrogation, they said they all wanted to see the interrogation. So we gathered them all in a room one night and we just played it for them. And they have kind of used that to build their characters.
We wanted the actors to really have a full, comprehensive understanding of all the legal precedents, of all the historical moments, all the dates, not only the events, but also the questions that this play raises.
Which are many and important questions, actually. Tell us a little bit about Act Two of your play, which takes the audience and the story beyond the interrogation.
The next moment in the timeline is the judge delivering her suppression of it. And you see both David's reaction to it, David Boyer's reaction, and her lawyer's reaction to the suppression. But the story really does not end there.
The government still had to decide, are they going to go forward with this case? Do they have evidence? And her lawyer, Ed Ryan, and David Boyer definitely had a very different opinion on how to now go forward, because Ed Ryan's there waiting for the government to drop the case. He knows they have no evidence, but are they going to appeal the judge's decision, or are they going to finally drop this?
Yeah, because you have these three individuals, the judge, Ed Ryan, and David Boyer, and they all want to help Na, but they all have such a different perspective on what help means at that point. So just to see them talking to each other on stage, that's really what thrusts the second act of the play.
I'm just actually curious, did you talk to Na Trong herself?
We did not talk to her. We kind of felt that she's been interviewed by David a lot on this case, and to make her relive it when we already had so many words from her, just to kind of let her be there.
I mean, it was important for us to make sure that Na has the last word. She has the last line in the play.
It's about her son. She says, I miss him all the time. I feel him all the time when I'm depressed, when I'm stressing out. I know he's there helping me through everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you hope that she would react to the fact that you have put her story on stage?
I'd hope that what she'd take away from knowing this is that there are many people out there who know her story and who have been following it for years and really care to see that, you know, she's okay now and that good things come for her.
I mean, I remember there was a moment when this took probably too long for me to realize, but looking at the dates of figuring out how old she was, I mean, she's only 2 months younger than myself. And just to think that, like, here's someone who's gone through that, and I mean, she's right in between the age of the two of us, I think it brings another level to the play for our actors to think about, where were they when they were the age that she is going through all of this?
Well, Julian Seltzer and Amanda Jane Stern are seniors at Brandeis University and also the playwrights of the new documentary play, Coerced. There are performances tonight and Sunday at the Laurie Theater at Brandeis. You can find more information about it at our website, radioboston.org. Julian and Amanda, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.